Our coverage of You Decide 2024 is presented by Big Fish Roofing. They're the roofers you can trust. Big Fish Roofing.
WOKV News Time 8:41. President Biden spending a day in Texas yesterday to talk about Supreme Court reforms, but that would require some major action from Congress in order to change that. Joining us live now, Jared Halpern from Fox News. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
So explain, break this down a little bit for us.
Yeah, so three proposals here that the president's putting forward, and you're right. These would all require congressional action. One of them would require legislative action in the states as well to change the Constitution. So these are not proposals that are kind of intended to get quick votes here in the House and Senate and become law before President Biden's time in office ends. These are very much kind of intended to be part of the conversation, part of the debate in this 2024 election. I think you've seen that in the way that Vice President Harris has embraced this and in the way that it's been talked about even from senior officials here at the White House. But the idea is sort of threefold. The first would create a constitutional amendment that would codify that a president does not have immunity for crimes committed while in office, certainly a response to the decision from the Supreme Court surrounding former President Trump last month. There is a call for term limits in this, an 18-year term limit that would create kind of a mechanism that presidents would nominate a new Supreme Court justice essentially every other year. So they would get two picks per four-year term. And then the last one, and the one that probably is getting the most attention, at least from, House and Senate committees, is this idea of a code of ethics for justices. That is one that polls pretty well, but again, the details would matter a great deal. The president says he wants clear rules on financial disclosures, gift disclosures, when justices would need to recuse from certain cases. You have seen the Senate Judiciary Committee, for instance, led by Dick Durbin, talk about this in hearings. It is something that he says he'd like to see move forward. There's not going to be a lot of buy-in for any of this, though, given that we are in an election year and given really just a few number of days that the House and Senate, that Congress is in session between now and the November election. So all of these are kind of part now of the presidential debate and trying to energize in many ways Democratic voters that tend to view the Supreme Court with a little bit more distrust and legitimacy concerns than Republicans have in recent public polling.
And that's kind of new for the United States, right? I mean, it had been previously thought that the Supreme Court was kind of, you know, the every bit that highest court in the land and kind of above the influence peddling and things like that. But what we're seeing is that probably never really was the case, even though it was perceived that way.
Well, you know, listen, the Supreme Court certainly has always held a much higher favorability rating than any other branch of government. Part of that, I think, is because, we don't see the Supreme Court every day, right? The arguments are not televised. We don't always sort of see the process. And generally, people believe that the court is sort of free and clear of politics. And the justices will tell you that is still the case. But obviously, there has been reporting about sort of the gifts that justices sometimes take. There have obviously been criticisms about the nominations. You've seen the nomination process of justices become much more partisan than they were even a few decades ago. It used to be that justices overwhelmingly got 90 plus votes in the Senate. Now they are almost entirely party line votes. That is a newer phenomenon. And so as politics have become more injected in kind of the nomination and confirmation process of justices, I think you've seen that spill over now into the way that Americans view these justices. And it's one of the reasons that there is beginning to be calls for reforming the court, especially now from the left, from Democrats, as they see this court much more influenced by conservatives, obviously the 6-3 split, and trying to find a way to push back on that. And certainly doing it at the ballot box is one way, and you're going to see that play out here, I think, with the way that this is framed in the upcoming election and certainly in the debate that's underway here between Republicans and Democrats.
And Jared, I'm going to take a risk and go a little off topic here. Any thoughts about Governor Roy Cooper from North Carolina stepping out of taking his name out of the hat for consideration as the running mate for Kamala Harris?
I mean, I think that every person who's considered for the running mate has to decide kind of if that's something they want to take on. I know with Cooper as well, there were some concerns about the lieutenant governor taking over. He is a very conservative Republican who is running for governor. And so perhaps him being off the out of the governor's mansion and on the national campaign trail raised some issues. But, you know, a lot of times these are personal decisions as well. Do you want to put your family through this? Do you want to put everybody you've ever interacted with through this? There's a strong vetting process. You've seen, for instance, Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, who polls really well in her home state, say that she has no interest in being on a national ticket. So it certainly shrinks the shortlist. She was a name. He was a name, Roy Cooper, that was bandied about in part because he has a pretty good relationship with Kamala Harris. They served as attorneys general at the same time. But I still think that as you look at this list of potential running mates, it really is narrowing down to probably just three or four names with Mark Kelly, Josh Shapiro, and the governor of Minnesota, Mark Walz, kind of at the top of that.
Mm-hmm. My gut still tells me Mark Kelly is going to be the pick, but we'll see.
A lot of people like Mark Kelly, given that he certainly has that strong military background. He was an astronaut. He speaks a lot about gun violence, obviously being the husband of former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. And he also is from a border state and has been critical at times of the Biden administration's policy at the border. So it is somebody that they view maybe perhaps can speak to that issue, which is a top liability for Democrats and certainly for Kamala Harris. So certainly a name that and he also, by the way, is getting a lot of support from his colleagues in the Senate who are former colleagues of Harris and can have some influence as well. So I'm always interested to see kind of what the lobbying effort looks like on the Hill. And there's been a pretty strong one for Mark Kelly, to be sure.
Mm-hmm. Exciting times, Jared. Thanks for giving us the extra time this
sure
morning.
Thing.